Hello, I'm ISS's Global Head of Research, Georgina Marshall, and welcome to this special ISS Bulletin podcast. Today's focus is US activism in all its forms. In this instalment, we'll provide you with an update on 2022 trends to date in activism, proxy fights, the ESG angle, universal proxy cards, and current trends in the M&A space in the US. Joining me to share his expertise is ISS's Head of Special Situations Research, Cristiano Guerra. Welcome, Cristiano, and let's get right to it. How is 2022 shaping up so far?
Hello, Georgina. Well, contested activity is definitely back in the U.S. Through June, there are already almost as many contests this year as we saw in all of 2020. Of course, the rebound began last year when we saw a total of 25 proxy fights go the distance, which was the highest number since 2017. Between January and June of this year, at least 17 contests will go to a vote, barring any last-minute settlements.
And are activists seeing greater success this year? It seems like 2021 was not an easy year for them.
Yeah, well, let's start with last year, which, as you correctly pointed out, was one of the toughest ones yet for activists. The dissident win rate in 2021, defined as activists getting any of the seats they were seeking, dropped to 36%. That's the lowest rate in over a decade. Of the 14 contests that went to a vote in the first 6 months of 2021, the only notable victory was the fight everyone remembers, Engine Number One at Exxon. The other two activist wins came at tiny nanocaps, companies with less than $1 million in market cap. The campaigns that we're seeing now seem more compelling than last year, but time will tell if investors are still giving companies a little more benefit of the doubt coming out of the pandemic. One notable loss so far this year was at Huntsman Corporation, where Starboard was looking for four seats on the 10-member board. We thought the activists made a strong enough case for two seats, but not enough shareholders supported the dissident at the ballot box, possibly because the company posted strong performance in the months leading up to the vote. Since the March 25th AGM, however, shares are down nearly 15%, so the jury is still out.
And in addition to perhaps a bit more leniency or benefit of the doubt being given to companies by their shareholders, are activists experiencing any other headwinds?
I think that some of the fights we're seeing now are campaigns that had been in the works for a couple of years. So some activists may be a little bit impatient. That could be driving the growing number of control fights recently, including Kohl's on May 11th, Southwest Gas on May 12th, and Turtle Beach on June 7th. The fight at US Foods on May 18th also began as a control fight, but the activist Sachem Head has since reduced its slate. As our clients know, our framework sets a much higher bar for control fights. So that creates a conundrum when an activist makes a sufficient case for change, but is perhaps asking for too much in terms of seats. I should add that the leniency you mentioned may still be warranted in limited cases where the pandemic effect on specific industries is still not entirely over. However, some companies may still be counting on that perceived leniency. One thing for shareholders to think about, for instance, is whether companies continue to adopt poison pills with low triggers, something investors were perhaps more understanding of during the height of the pandemic than they may be now.
What are some of the more interesting fights so far?
Well, we had two situations going to a vote this week with striking similarities, Kohl's and Southwest Gas. In both cases, the activists were going for control of the board, and both target companies received unsolicited offers in the late stages of the campaigns and reportedly initiated a sales process. And both cases have drawn public views by significant shareholders. T. Rowe in favor of Kohl's current board, and Cohen and Steers against the board at Southwest. But there are also some key differences. The activist at Kohl's is McKellum, which is a retail-focused activist that has gone after Bed Bath & Beyond and Big Lots. The activist at Southwest Gas is Carl Icahn, who has targeted companies in just about every sector. In the case of Kohl's, this is the second consecutive year that McKellum is seeking seats on the board. Last year, the company and the activist settled for two board seats and one mutually agreeable nominee. As for Southwest, That company really drew ICON's attention when it decided to acquire Questar Pipeline for $1.5 billion late last year. Berkshire Hathaway had agreed to acquire that same pipeline in July 2020 for $300 million less, but had to abandon the deal due to antitrust concerns. Also, the sales process at Kohl's has been characterized by a series of leaks, so investors already have a pretty good idea of who the potential buyers might be. Nonetheless, Kohl's shares are still trading well below the reported offer prices, which suggests the market is skeptical. At Southwest, the company has been tight-lipped and there have been no leaks, so investors have a lot less visibility into the sales process. Ironically, Southwest shares have shot up, reflecting greater market confidence that a deal will actually get done. In fact, the two sides reached a truce on Friday, and the Southwest board settled with ICON for four seats and the replacement of the CEO.
And earlier you mentioned Exxon. Have there been any more fights with an ESG angle so far this year?
In March, Legent Partners ran a vote no campaign at Guess over ongoing allegations of sexual misconduct by director Paul Marciano, who serves as the company's chief creative officer. Paul and his brother Maurice only survived the vote because of their 41% ownership stake. So we'll see how that situation unfolds. And later this month, McDonald's shareholders will vote on two candidates nominated by Carl Icahn, who is asking the company to stop the use of gestation crates for pregnant sows in its supply chain. So yeah, ESG factors are in fact becoming a more central theme in some proxy fights.
And are there any other interesting trends of note in the special situation space so far this year?
One key difference from last year is that while proxy fights are up in number, merger activity is way down, as the uneasy market and regulatory concerns have helped cool what was one of the hottest M&A markets in years. But there are still a few interesting transactions on the horizon. Nielsen Holdings agreed to be acquired by Elliott Investment Management and Brookfield for $28 a share. But a very large shareholder, Windacre, is trying to block that deal, arguing that shares may be worth nearly twice as much today and as much as $80 by 2025. Spirit Airlines, which agreed to a merger with Frontier Airlines in February, has since received a hostile cash bid from JetBlue, which it rejected. An interesting side note is that Spirit and Frontier said that their merger would create, quote, America's greenest airline. There's that ESG angle again. Finally, we're keeping an eye on Zendesk. Shareholders of that company resoundingly rejected its proposed merger with Momentive, that's the maker of SurveyMonkey, a few months ago. Now the company is reportedly exploring a sale, while Jana Partners, the activist that led the campaign against the Momentive deal, has nominees lined up for when the company calls its next annual meeting.
Yeah, very interesting. Slightly different topic. What about universal proxy cards?
Despite the SEC establishing that universal proxy cards will become the norm as of August 31st, none of the companies targeted so far this year have decided to be early adopters. Some activists have actually requested early enough in the campaigns that companies use universal proxy cards, but those companies have rejected or just simply ignored these requests.
And has this impacted any of our recommendations?
Not per se, Georgina, but in a few situations, shareholders are having to make choices that they will no longer have to face when universal proxy cards become the norm. For example, if you support a dissident nominee, what are the chances you'll lose an incumbent director you would have preferred to keep on the board? Or if the incumbents that should perhaps be removed are likely to keep their seats, should shareholders support more change than would have been necessary otherwise? In any event, we are witnessing the end of the two-card era for proxy fights. Starting this summer, we'll have a lot more new issues to think about, Georgina.
Many thanks, Cristiano. And that ends our special podcast on U.S. activism and M&A. We'd like to thank you, our listeners, for joining us. We hope you found this session useful and informative. We'll be back with more Bulletin Season insights, both podcasts and written notes, over the coming weeks. Please do watch your emails over the course of the coming weeks for full information on and links to those Bulletin Season insights series. From all of us at ISS, thanks again for joining, and please stay safe and secure. Goodbye.